So at this point, I introduce to you our speaker and the sermon topic. Our speaker today is our brother, the Reverend Dr. Reuben Ezemadu. And the topic following our theme is Unsung Heroes. Today, we consider Jochebed instilling godly values. We learn what God has purposed for us from this aspect of our quarter theme. And we pray for God's unction, even as I invite Reverend Reuben Ezemadu to come and speak to us.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you very much for a time like this when you are reminding us, O God, that you are God of covenant, who also watches over the covenants you have made with us to perform them. Lord, many of those who have walked with you before us are testimonies and witnesses that we can learn from today. And thank you for the opportunity to learn from one of them, whose life or whose story, even though it was not very, very prominent, but Lord, you have a lot of lessons for us to learn from it, so that we can also fulfill the purpose for which you have brought us into this world and saved us and allowed us to still remain here now. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that will lead us into all the truth. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word, and grant us a heart that is willing, O God, to change. May encouragement and comfort be ministered to those of us who are still wondering whether they matter in your things. Open our eyes to see how you see us, so that we will respond, O God, to what your spirit is trying to do with us on this earth. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank God for another opportunity for me to share with you here. And it was last year, February, that I was here last. And I thank God for giving me another opportunity to come and share in the wonderful work that the Lord is using you to do. May I also start by saying that we appreciate very much the partnership that we have been enjoying with the church here. Like Paul was talking about the Philippian Christians, there are very few churches or even believers who understand that the gospel is for everybody, and that the church of Jesus Christ, which is the instrument that God has led for us to convey his love and his message on earth here today, that is also one body. And that people have been given different assignments in the kingdom of God, and each assignment matters. Like Paul was talking about, he planting, Apollos watering, and he talked about those who will gather the harvest. So all of them are very important in the kingdom. And you have demonstrated that you have extended your hand of fellowship and partnership to those of us who are on the other side of the assignment, gathering the harvest. So we thank God for you, and we will continue to appreciate your prayers and the other very tangible ways you have been supporting and encouraging us. And I'm saying that not only for my own organization, the Christian Missionary Foundation, but the entire mission community in Nigeria, which is representing the whole church in taking this gospel to places where it has not reached, especially at a time that many eyes have been abroad, that other people come and do it. But God is encouraging us that we also have a part to play. Thank you very much for that. Then coming to what is before us today, we're looking at Jochebed, that unsung heroine, a woman that God used in a very wonderful way, but that many of the stories that we have been talking about and the things I've been saying, that she's really remembered and mentioned. And that's why I believe that God laying it in the hearts of the worship coordinators here to take up this series this year or this time is very, very important. And I believe too that God will use it to encourage others so that we will begin to see things from God's own perspective, different from what we are used to. And also the kind of Bible studies we go through, which are only to maybe increase our knowledge of what had happened in the past, but not seeing how those things also concern us now and the implications of that for us. The passages that we have read tell this story, but I believe too that there are many more passages that we will need to take into account, especially at the Sunday school. We remember that that Paul recounted all these things also when he was telling the story of the children of Israel. And in that Acts chapter 7, we are told some of the full stories about how Moses came up and how he carried out his own ministry. But you know, we only see those who stand in the front and those who are very, very prominent. But we rarely see the people that God has used to make them. I remember in my own case, there were some people that God used to play significant roles even when I didn't know that God was leading me to come and serve him. People who made sacrifices. And as in the case of Moses, it has been women. There was a time that somebody asked me a question about the women who have made significant impact in my life. And that was before I got married. But my list started with my mother. And then there was a friend of hers that called Mama Mercy that made a lot of input into my own life. And then there were some of my classmates or schoolmates in the university. In fact, the first set of Christians that I knew as a teenager after I've given my life to Christ, coming from the other part of the world, the other side of the world, of where only we knew was how to be a tough person, a big guy. Then I got born again, and then I came to the school, secondary school, and then there were these three sisters, three teenagers. In fact, they were my juniors. But they were the first Christians I could see as somebody who was just coming up from the world into Christendom. And these three made a lot of impact in my life. I was one of them. yesterday. And last time when I was here, she came here. People that mirrored for me what it means to be a child of God as a teenager. And there are many, many of such. And it's also very interesting that most of the people that God has used in shaping the lives of people in the scriptures and in contemporary times are Christian mothers and Christian sisters. And we have to thank God for that. And so this case of Jochebed, what it mirrors for us is the impact of motherly nurture and upbringing. Motherly nurture and upbringing. The kind of influence that such has in the life of the children when they are growing up. And I believe too that it was also for us to take note of this, that Micah chapter 6 verse 4 talks about the fact that out of that, the womb of that woman, came three very prominent siblings that featured in the story of God's deliverance of the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt. And reading that and hearing this also reminds me of what Paul said about Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, where he talked about the kind of character, the kind of values that Timothy exhibited. And Paul was very careful to point to the role of the grandmother, that was Lois, and then Timothy's mother, Eunice. And with that kind of background, I would want us to look at a few things that we can learn from here. The first one is, we cannot fulfill God's purpose for us in this life as individuals and as parents and as children without having a connection with God. Because He's the one that has already mapped out our journey in life. In some cases, he made it clear to people like Jeremiah and to Paul. Like Paul said, when I was still in my mother's womb, and God told Jeremiah, when you were still in your mother's womb, I've ordained you. I have proposed what you're going to be and what you're going to do. And we must have that sense of mission, sense of purpose from God. That is one thing that is very, very important. Then the second one is that we must be very, very sensitive to what the Lord is saying or doing about us. Because that is how He guides us to follow His will. You know, if Jochebed and the husband didn't know, or they did not understand what God had in mind about Moses, they wouldn't have fulfilled God's purpose. Because as it appears, when we are discussing in the Bible study, you know, we talk about risks that involved. Especially in that kind of situation where the king has made a decree that this is what will happen. But for that woman and the husband to defy the king, there was something that they knew. And it was something that was said about how they saw that boy. That boy that was born at a time that no male Hebrew child was supposed to be alive. Remember, they had Aaron, they have had Miriam. But Moses happened to be the one that was born at such a time that it was very risky to have a child, a male child. But the Bible said that they saw something in him. They saw that he was a different child. He was a child of destiny. And let me just digress a little bit here and share our own personal testimony. After we have had our third child, and because of some of the circumstances and the things, the battles that went on, we said, oh, praise the Lord, we are done. We have done with childbearing. And after 6 years, the people that say, oh, we have retired, we took all the, this is so relaxed. After 6 years, we had, and then my wife got pregnant again. And it was a very devastating experience. A lot of questions started coming. Said, Lord, we told you, you don't do. Why giving us another child? Anyway, we battled over that. And God helped us that we didn't do anything to interfere with her. Even as children of God, it was too serious. But then when this boy was born, we felt so guilty that we even thought about not welcoming him. And that's why eventually we called him Uchechukwu. That's his own word, that God wanted him to be here. And then, just as a baby, when we go out like that, people go, oh, let me see this baby. They started saying so many things. We were wondering. Everywhere we go, there was a time we were at the airport to see some of our friends off. Then all the airport workers, those ladies, they were, oh, hey, this baby is wonderful. In fact, at the time they told my wife, he said, if we didn't see you with your husband, we would have said, where did you go to get this boy? Because it was so, you know, like they talked about Moses. He was so fine. And that's the favor that God has used to carry him all the way place. And every time we remember it, we say, thank God we didn't interfere with God's plan. And this is one of the things that should help us. And this is the privilege that we have, that God speaks to us, especially concerning the circumstances we face. Some of the things that happen that we cannot explain why. God uses them to guide us in the path he has already ordained. In fact, at the time that boy, that our son, somebody came from abroad who had not met him before. He was in boarding school that time. And that Sunday that this man saw that son of ours, he started speaking about him. He said, this boy is going to be a great leader, not because of his parents. And this is what he's tending to. At his tender age, he was already a house fellowship leader, a house fellowship pastor, before he went abroad. And where he is always involved in the things of God. Not because of me or her, but because that's what God has spoken about concerning him. And so when this case happened at a time that everybody was being careful not to have a child. But the Bible says that what made Jochebed and the husband to preserve him was because they saw that he was a unique child. A unique child. And that could not have happened if not by the Spirit of the Lord, to recognize what God is doing and the hand of God that is upon him. And the other thing I also want to call our attention to was the statement that was made in the two passages in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 23 said that it was because of what they saw in Moses. They didn't fear the king's edict. And because of their faith in God, they didn't care about the risks. Two things. What they saw in that child and what they believed, that God, who had brought this boy at such a time like this, that God will preserve him. And that's what made them not to fear or consider the risks. But then, we're talking about instilling godly values. It is also the same thing that was said about this boy, Moses. He said, because of what he has seen. See, he has seen a kingdom that is different from what Pharaoh was displaying. So he has seen something. And that influenced his decision. He said that was why he decided not to accept being a son of Pharaoh, because he knew where his identity rested. And because of what he has seen too, that no other eye could see, he had to choose not to follow what destiny was throwing on him, but he wanted to follow what was God's original plan. Because to many people, this would have been a very good advantage to be the son of Pharaoh, to be the one who will support, who will succeed Pharaoh, because Pharaoh didn't have a son. And the daughter that adopted Moses was the heir apparent to that kingdom. And it would have been very, very simple. He inherited it. It was delivered to him by virtue of that. But he made decisions and choices that were not based on the earthly values, but on the values that his parents has instilled on him. And again, the other thing that is very, very important is understanding our true identity. Understanding our true identity is very, very important. And apart from this case of Moses, that we are told that because he knew that he was a Jew, he refused to accept to be Pharaoh's daughter's son. He knew where he was from, who he was, and so on and so forth. And that's one of the things that was the value that Moses' parents instilled in him. To be proud of who you are. And to be proud of your root. And let me say this, for the Jews, one of the things that had earmarked them and always distinguished them is their belief that they are Jews. And they will not accept any other thing or change that identity for anything. That was what also helped Mordecai, if you remember. Even though he was a gate man, but he said, I am a Jew. And that was the testimony that saw him through. Therefore, one of the things that we have to learn, even there's nothing else about this, is that God uses circumstances and situations and people to help position us in a way, in a place that we will fulfill His purpose. So that we should not despise such. And that your identity in Christ is what matters. And that identity conveys on you that privilege to fulfill God's purpose wherever you are placed. And that is why, as we continue to appreciate the various people that God is using to help us as we continue in this journey of our faith, let us also be mindful of the fact that we owe God a duty not to fail Him. Because He has put around us people who will help us. All that we needed to do is just, first of all, let our eyes be focused on Him and let our ears be open to what He is saying to us. And I'm trusting God. I'm believing Him that after this session, this time we are studying this on Song and Unknown Heroes, that we will also be able to carry out our own rules of helping others to become and fulfill God's purpose in their own lives. It's the responsibility that we owe, and that's what Paul enjoins us in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 2, when we have received, we should also be able to pass it on to other people. We know it's a responsibility that continues. Let it not stop with you. And do not think that you don't have anything to contribute. Because God has given every one of us something. Every one of us has a gift, has some things that God has deposited in us that will be fruitful and useful to others. But more importantly, it is those values that come from our knowing the Lord. The Bible says that they that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. And that's what I commend you too today. Let's pray. Father, thank you because you are faithful. You watch over your word to perform it. Lord, this particular season, especially as we are beginning this new year, we are committing ourselves to your hand and asking, O Lord, that you open our eyes to see, O God, what you are showing. Open our ears to hear what you are saying to us. And give us a heart that we believe you and trust you. That in spite of all the negative things that the devil is throwing up, those things that contend for our faith and trust in you, that we will put our trust in you, knowing that no matter what the situation, O God, that Jesus said you are determined to give us the kingdom. So that every one of us, we realize this and trust enough and exercise that faith, O God, that will make us to become the trees of righteousness you have called us to be, so that we'll be manifesting your glory wherever we are. Thank you, Father, for considering it also so worthy, O God, for us to be beneficiaries of what you are saying to your church in times like this. Give us that grace and give us a heart. The Lord will be among those people who will believe you and obey you and do what you have asked us to do, that your name might be glorified among the nations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.